Hello, Rolene Marks. How are you?
Oh, Kathy Kayla, I am so loving that sting, I tell you.
good. I love that you're loving. Let's talk about space. Can we talk about Bereshit?
We should always be talking about space. Yes. Let's. So, I mean, we all watched last week. We were all so excited. And I think, you know, some people say they were disappointed that we didn't land. I think it is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous achievement that we made it into space. We were successful, you know, literally up until kilometers where we were due to land on the moon. And IAI have started an investigation to see why the lunar landing of the spacecraft Bereshit, or I'm going to teach you a new word in Hebrew, the Chalelit, which is the rocket, the spacecraft, did not land as it was scheduled to land. But unless you really have been living in outer space, Kath, you will know that Maurice Kahn, ex-South African, tremendous, tremendous, tremendous philanthropist, a businessman, has announced that he will be funding, along with other philanthropists, Bereshit 2, because we want to teach our youngsters here that if you do not succeed, get up, try again. And it's really, really indicative of the Israeli startup spirit, the Israeli pioneering spirit. And while we are busy with that, we are also busy investigating why the spacecraft did not land. So preliminary findings point to the fact that apparently there was a technical malfunction in one of the measurement gauges. Yeah. Pardon? Wow.
But listen, really, I mean, the fact that it even did it, they had lost radio communication 2 weeks previously. I mean, it's amazing. It's an amazing accomplishment. You know, it really is.
But, you know, we being Israelis, you know, we need to know absolutely everything. I mean, some people were saying it's just, you know, quite indicative of the Israeli style of driving. So why shouldn't we land like Israelis? You know, we didn't land softly. We landed, you know, we landed with a, you know, with a noise.
I'm sorry. That's rubbish. But, your bus drivers are completely out of this world. I've seen Israelis drive. Avi, who used to drive the tank, you know what I mean? He's now a bus driver.
Well, you know what, you know, I can fly this aircraft, I'll drive this bus. So what we have found is that there has been a malfunction in what they call the IMU. Now, here's where I sound very impressive. It's called inertial measurement unit.
Yes.
And this sends the command to the spacecraft, but apparently it was turning off, which resulted in the engine turning off. So, you know, we'll get it right, we'll perfect it, and we'll land gracefully next time. And many of us are hoping, and we'll get to him a little later, many of us are hoping that Bereshit 2 will take at least one passenger called Roger Waters. And, you know, I'm a believer that, you know, what you talk about manifests. And if he talks about the dark side of the moon, hopefully we can send him there, because he is not letting up on Israel at the moment, is Roger Waters. So we are hoping that not only will we land successfully, but we'll send a few undesirable characters to perhaps contemplate, you know, Israel from the dark side of the moon.
All right. Otherwise, just build a Chabad and we're all good. Rolene, Palestinian Prime Minister accuses United States of launching financial war on Palestinians. What's that about?
Well, let's talk about that. So yeah. we've been talking for months and months and months and months that we are, you know, we're all very curious to see what the Trump peace plan is going to reveal. And but what has been revealed or leaked to the press, or always unnamed officials have said, is that it's not going to include any promise of statehood. What the Trump peace plan will put forward are economical incentives. So the newly elected Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammed Shtaya says that the U.S. in effect is launching or declaring financial war on his people, and that the American peace plan, you know, in this incarnation will be born dead before it gets off the ground. And he goes further to say there are no partners in Palestine for Trump. There are no Arab partners for Trump, and there are no European partners for Trump. So, you know, it's going to be quite an accomplishment if the Americans are going to be able to bring the Palestinians to the negotiating table. Yesterday, they appealed to the Russians. They said that they have no preconditions on condition that the Russians will form the mediating party between Israel and themselves. And, you know, this comes at a time where there are very, very difficult financial situations for the Palestinians, both in the West Bank and in the Gaza Strip, especially in the Gaza Strip. And the Trump administration has slashed hundreds of millions of dollars of aid because of where the money is going to. So that fact is probably why the Trump administration, with this peace plan, have taken a step back and said, right, first we get certain things right on the ground, certain institutions in place, and perhaps, and we'll only know when the plan is revealed, that when these institutions or structures are in place, perhaps it will be motivational to take a step forward towards some kind of two-state solution.
Why do you think Russia's always involved? Russia's very, very involved in the Middle East, as well as Africa, but
Russia,
what's the drive?
Russia is very involved. I think because the Palestinians see the Russians as perhaps having more teeth in the Middle East than the Americans do. They see the Russians as perhaps being a little bit more fair toward or predisposed towards them in negotiations. And I think Putin very much wants to be the man that outdoes, you know, or changes the influence from America to Russia. We've also seen Russia involvement, not just in Syria, but over the last couple of weeks, the returning of remains, first of Staff Sergeant Zachary Baumel, and then the other day we heard rumors, which have been squashed very, very quickly, that perhaps with the involvement of Russia, we could see the executed alleged Mossad spy, Eli Cohen, or Eli Cohen, returned safely back to the state of Israel after 54 years.
Yeah. Look, I wouldn't rule it out. Rolene, we've got literally a minute. Can you please just, did Hamas really threaten to rocket Eurovision?
Yes.
Do they want to be completely and utterly wiped out? Because I think that is the line that Israel will actually just not, they will not tolerate that like they have been with the rockets.
Absolutely not going to tolerate that, but Hamas have said that with 1 million Gazans suffering, I mean, they forget that Gazans are actually protesting them and not Israel, they will fire on to the Eurovision contest. And we heard from his royal whining ship, Roger Waters, contacting Madonna, who is scheduled to perform at Eurovision, that if she is pro-human rights, she will not perform at Eurovision. And just to close, we also have some good news, Kathy, because, you know, I know you like your good news.
I do.
And we have heard that one Jennifer Lopez, also known as J-Lo, will be bringing the party to Tel Aviv in August as she brings her It's My Party in celebration of her 50th birthday to Israel.
Mazel tov to her. Well done. Rolene Marks, that is where we leave it today. And thank you so much. I look forward to speaking to you tomorrow.
Looking forward. God bless.
You too. God bless. Bye-bye.